This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest Short Shots, our sister show where Rich and I focus exclusively on short films. This week, we've got a whole bunch of fighting going on. We're going to kick off with The Collector, move on to Tiger Man, and then we're going to look at two films, Lady 1 and 2, and then we're going to round up with some Redemption. So, without further ado, let's crack on. Our first short then is The Collector. A debt collector enters a nightclub to make the manager pay up for his formidable boss and has to use violence to make his point made. However, the club manager has a few tricks up his sleeve as well. Now, Rich, as soon as I saw the name Godfrey Rijkaard, I knew I was in for a good time. This is a director we both like quite a lot. He's a prolific filmmaker. As soon as you see a new one pop up, there's like another three that you've missed in the meantime. But this one seems to, he's a very accomplished filmmaker as it is, but this seems to be even more polished than normal. The nightclub setting, the music, the cinematography, it all sort of really pops together. It really sort of works for me, this one. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's fantastic. As you say, we've talked about films that he's done before, like Boom Blades, No Plan, No Gain, and that all, really striking stuff. And he's made he's directed 24 films, short films, and he's done loads of other work on other things like fight choreographer for the Witcher show, and doing stunts on stuff like the 355, which is coming up, also on a stunt coordinator on the Adventures de Trun in Novak, which we saw at the Fighting Spirit festival. So he's done a ridiculous amount of stuff, but this definitely raises the bar quite significantly, I think, in terms of its aesthetic. He is a cinematographer. I'm not sure if he was the cinematographer for this one, but he has been a cinematographer on Jailbreak, the Jean-Paul Live film. But this one it all takes place in one location, but it's basically a big empty warehouse that they've, packed a whole bunch of people in and a stage for a DJ and stuff like that. And that's pretty much it. And just a whole bunch of props. Yeah. It's the way it's lit and edited the combination and the humor, and it's absolutely hilarious. It starts out with this, this debt collector character walking in, who is basically Inspector Clouseau.
Exactly.
But it's Inspector Clouseau if he could fight crazy. Really fight,
instead of being up against Burt Kwok all the time, never underestimate this, the element of surprise, this guy actually knows how to move. Or does he? Because it turns out this guy's never danced before. And which is really funny.
Yeah, well, we talked about over on the main show, the film C600 recently, which has characters sort of it's like involuntary, movements sort of coming upon them or whatever, and this one is even more so. It's just the body movements, the way he acts it, as he's just. The beat is taking over and his arms are sort of flailing or whatever. It's just fantastic. It's really compelling.
Absolutely.
And then he sort of starts to fight against the beat, and that's when he starts kicking off and saying, look, I've had enough now. It's one of those scenes that just kind of escalates. So it starts out with just sort of throwing people around and knocking them around. Then the weapons come out and people are getting electrocuted and sliced up. And
Have you seen the original Kingsman movie?
I have, yes.
Because I was reminded a little bit of the whole bit in the church with Colin Firth's character.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
because it's that sort of relentless sort of thing, you know, moving from one opponent to another. You know, that it is very fluid. You know,
and the camera work on that as well. Like, so exactly, very similar camera work.
Yeah, and it all works. You know, so you know, it's a mixture of sort of hand to hand, sort of knives come out, guns come out. Guns and knives come out. it's a really good sort of thing. And then there's sort of, but what threw me a little bit was the ending. It was like, it's almost as if they went, well, what should we do next then? And just like, they literally pulled the ending out of their ass, basically. Yeah. It's just like totally out of nowhere.
But it's just sort of, it's just fun. It's just mental, isn't it? I mean, it's only, I mean, they pack a hell of a lot in to 7 minutes. Mm. I mean, it feels a very complete film, although I don't think you could, you know, it has that odd, you know, that odd ending that, you know, you could potentially build on, but I don't think it needs it. I think it's perfect as it is. And it's one, I mean, for me, it's one of my favorite films of the year so far, maybe one of my favorite shorts I've ever seen. I just think it's just incredible, and they've really, as I said, they've really raised the bar. And you know, whatever Godfrey and the team do, you know, we always know it's going to be high quality. Should we just have a little mention of a couple of the others that they've had out?
So I know you. I mean, I've only watched the first couple of minutes of the interview, but I know you regard that one quite highly as well.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I liked the visual. I liked coronavirus. That was a Corona Apocalypse. It was called. Mm-hmm. It's another one. The reason I like this one, I mean, it has got a really good sort of central sort of fight scene as these two people are fighting over a toilet roll, which is very on the nose for lockdown and everything. But what it also contains, which I haven't really sort of seen from Godfrey Rycutt before, is some really good sort of like suspense at the beginning of it, where this guy thinks somebody's broken into his house. Mm-hmm. And it works really well for, you know, it's only for about a minute or so. You know, is he sort of thinking somebody in the house? I'm not sure, but that worked really well as well, and the visual humor as well. You know, this woman who's got the COVID just sneezes on this guy and he immediately drops dead on the street, which is a good bit of parody, I thought.
There was another one called The Fork Effect recently, which is. It's not a fight scene, but it's just an escalation of chaos of, you know, one thing impacts another thing, and you know,
and you've gone, Rich.
It's a dinner, a fork flies in one direction, it causes something after, and it's like a domino effect sort of sequence, which is
Could you describe that again? Because you cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, it's my end probably.
No, so another one that's really good is The Fork Effect, which isn't really it's not a fight scene short like a lot of these ones are, but it's a domino effect of chaos unfolding at a dinner table where, you know, there's a guy who's he's having his friends over, they're all a bit obnoxious or whatever, and something happens, people start to get injured, and they're just, you know, and it literally ends with it's literally like an apocalyptic ending basically for it. So that's a good little 5 minute short. But yeah, the interview which you mentioned is that's a great fight short. But the Fork Effect interview and this one, you know, they've all come out this year.
And in lockdown, exactly. I mean, yeah, crazy, absolutely. Okay, so we do score the shorts on this show, so what are you going to give it?
This is all, you know what, I'm going to give this a 10 out of 10.
Wow. Okay. A 10 out of 10 from Rich. I'm going to give this a little bit less. I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10. Mainly because that ending, it's just like, okay, you know, it's wacky, but you kind of lost me a little bit. Just in that final 2 seconds, cost you. Okay, so an 8 and a 10. This is highly recommended from us. Check out The Collector. We'll put the link into the footnotes as usual. Our next review is Tiger Man, set in 1971. As he rehearses for a big show in Las Vegas, Elvis Presley is set upon by thugs who soon find out that rumors of his martial arts prowess are true. I love this whole thing. This is so cool. There are, you know, I mean, Elvis was a karate expert or an exponent of martial arts, as we know. And, you know, I think this is a fictitious event. You know, it's sort of it has this sort of documentary footage at the beginning where he's been interviewed, and sort of the interviewer sort of says, "Well, can you now tell us what happened in Las Vegas on that night?" And then we get this thing sort of kicking off. It's really well done. You know, the film stock and everything. You know, it's of that period, or it was made to look of that period. And you know, the choreographer for this is good old Jean-Paul Ley. Who we were just talking about, funny enough, on the collector. So yeah, this, I thought this was great. What do you make of this one, Rich?
Yeah, I really like this one a lot. It's as you were saying, I think the aesthetics of it, the sort of setup and the different styles of camera, you know, the footage, the stock, or the, you know, the graininess and you know how they've made it actually look like black and white television footage, crossed with sort of like the what we're watching as the film, crossed also with like some 8mm kind of footage that is being shot by someone sitting in the audience. It's, you know, limited in scope because, you know, Elvis would probably play venues much bigger than this.
Yeah.
That sort of takes the edge off a bit. But in terms of...
Yeah, but this is his like rehearsal, so it's possible he might have hired a smaller venue to sort, you know, work through the
Well,
set
that's true. And, anyway. And we got Paul London doing a good job as Elvis. I believe Paul London's a former wrestler. I don't know much about him, but he you know, does a good performance here. This is, you know, it's all pretending to be in Las Vegas or whatever. It's actually a British short. And, you know, it was all shot in like a day, whatever. They've done a really nice job with, you know, bringing it from conception to you know, fruition. It's like 4 or 5 minutes long. You can't go wrong, really. By the way, the company that made it is called, I mean, the writer-director of James Campbell, and the company 80s Doubt Productions. They've got a history with fan films, basically.
All right.
They've got a Punisher Batman short coming up called 1986, which has got Lee Charles, I think, as Batman, which looks like it's going to be something quite special. Yeah, it's just called 1986. But they've done stuff in the past like Ripper, which I think is like a Batman in the time of
We covered that one. That was really good. Yeah.
Well, you might have covered it. I've never seen it. So.
All right. I recommend it. It's really good. It's got this really great idea of Bruce Wayne sort of setting up shop on his sort of huge like clipper ship, you know. It's a really good idea. It's set in Boston, I think, that one.
Right, okay.
Really good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's on my list to check out. They've also done other various other productions, but they're quite definitely one to sort of keep an eye on, because this is just like a small example, it seems, of some of the sort of grander productions that they've got up their sleeve.
Absolutely. How are you going to score this one? I'll kick off with this. I'm going to give this another 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Awesome. So check this out. Again, the link for this will be in the footnotes. Our next film is Lady 2. A woman with no name comes to the rescue of some women who've been kidnapped by traffickers. This is co-directed by Stephanie Pham, who's also the star of this, the woman with no name, shall we say. The fight choreography is great in this. There's a little bit of story going on. but I think it's very accomplished. It's probably the most bloodthirsty film we're talking about today. The behind the scenes stuff does, you know, it shows you a couple of the effects work, which was really cool. I enjoyed it. There's another short which precedes it, just called Lady, but that is literally just a 3-minute fight scene, and you know, you have to sort of make assumptions in that one as to who the goodie is, basically, don't you? It's you know, there's a woman with some mirror shades on is obviously the baddie, but there is hints at a backstory, but nothing is actually sort of like brought through. So I think this is probably the slightest of the films we're covering today, but even so, it's still very enjoyable and very accomplished.
Yeah, it's a similar length to The Collector. It's about 8 minutes long. I was impressed by the action, the choreography. Compared to say, this is a lot more graphic than some of the fight scenes. I mean, they're not just
going like, around. Yeah.
This is like
this is on the level of The Night Comes for Us with Joe Taslim.
Yeah.
It's
bloody. So she goes around, she starts slicing people up with a knife, which is good, like practical effects work, you know, where they, you know, just do a cut and show the knife embedded in someone's head or their cheek or their neck or whatever. But she's also, she also puts it on her shoe and just starts kicking people and slicing people up or whatever.
Really
clever. But the production is so drastically different to its predecessor. I mean, as you were saying, the first one, there's nothing to it really. It's just a one-on-one fight scene. This is, you know, a huge supporting cast kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, various different locations, still not a huge amount of backstory, but they do set up that, you know, there's human trafficking and stuff involved and it's kind of a rescue. And that's all you really need to know in this case. It's just that it's the fantastic execution of those graphic fight scenes, I think, from Stephanie Pham and the rest of the team absolutely. That really impressed in this.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy this. I just want to mention the that ending, though, where one of the victims sort of thanks her for rescuing them, and she sort of chucks her a knife and goes, "Take that, next time you won't need rescuing," or something. I thought, really? You know, isn't that sort of like the whole, you know, the only way to stop a rogue shooter is to have a good shooter kind of thing? It's like, it's not exactly victim blaming, but it does kind of strike of that a little bit. I don't know, maybe I'm being too harsh.
She's probably, the character is probably just, you know, grumpy and cynical and like reluctantly it's like, oh, why do I have to do this? You know, you should be,
I suppose, yeah,
care of yourself. You know, because I was watching Shoot 'Em Up recently again,
right? Yeah.
With Clive Owen, and you know, in the opening scene of that movie, he just watches a pregnant woman just sort of wandering along, you know, clearly in distress, being pursued by these guys, and it's like a good couple of minutes before he goes, it's like, right okay. It's like, I'm gonna have to get involved in this. I don't really want to. It's basically the same kind of setup, really. But
I don't know. It just sort of, I don't know. It just hit me the wrong way for a second, you know. But I don't know. But the ending, the ending of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, for example, is, you know, the very end of that is where she empowers all of the sort of women to become slayers, basically. Spoiler alert for a show which finished 15 years ago. But I suppose it's an element of that. She's trying to empower them, I guess. But it's again the case of, like, you know, someone's sort of worried about getting harassed. You know, somebody will go, well, what you should do is learn martial arts or something like that. It's like, yeah, but also people could stop harassing me. You know, it's, anyway, you know, let's just get rid of traffickers, basically, and then we wouldn't have to carry knives around.
Can you tick, 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 tick,
Okay, so the last film we're looking at tonight is Redemption. After being captured and beaten by a special ops team, an unnamed soldier retaliates in brutal fashion. However, a fellow prisoner implores him to help rescue his fiancée. You have to sort of kind of read between the lines a little bit with this one, Rich, as to what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. To begin with, it's very sparse on details, but you know, we're aficionados of action movies. We can join the dots, basically, and I think that's what's kind of what they're hoping for. But this is solid stuff.
Well, I wasn't really sure why he was there. You know, the mm. sort of hero character of the story, or the the anti-hero, I guess. That because was he with like the mercenaries? Do you think, or did he get there by some other means?
I think I got the impression he was like a thorn in their side, mm-hmm. And because they're going like, oh, so this is the guy who's been, you know, find out what he's been doing. But I got the impression that he'd been sort of like decimated their numbers already and, been captured. But, I don't know if it was, if he was attempting to rescue the prisoners in the first place or he was there for some other reason. Again, as I said, sparse details. We're just sort of faced with this beaten guy who basically comes to and starts kicking ass.
I liked it a lot. I was initially struck by the cinematography, which has a wonderful sort of sepia quality to it. The setting is it's like some once grand hotel, I guess. There's like a grand dining room or something where a lot of the action takes place, and it's just fallen. It's in a terrible state, but it's beautifully shot, and it reminded me of some of the locations and the cinematography in the Scott Adkins film Legacy of Lies, which had like this bus graveyard kind of scene, which just looked much better than you would expect for a low budget film to look. This was made by a guy called Stephen Rennie.
Stephen Rennie, yeah,
who's a stunt guy. He's made this in Thailand with a Thai leading actor. So there's kind of that. It's got that sort of feel of a film from a film from like Thailand or Indonesia or something, like Raid. But for me, this felt like a mini Raid or like a little Tony Jaa movie or something. So the guy's got fantastic moves. I mean, there's one bit where he jumps up on a guy's neck and does that sort of MMA move where he kind of swings him down onto the floor. But he's also using his elbows and kicks and whatever. So when he's really impressive. Gavin Bunyaretave, I think, is something playing Panit, I think is the main character's name. But we got Ron Smurenberg as his nemesis. Mm. I always love seeing him turn up. Yeah. He's got a reputation from working on with Jackie Chan on Who Am I? His basically whole reputation is sort of stems from that fight scene that he had on the rooftop in there, but he pops up all over the place, and especially in quite a few shorts that we've covered. He's had roles in various things, even like Tremors, Shrieker Island. He had a small part in and stuff, and lots of stunt work and that. But I think he's got a fantastic presence. He's definitely the best actor in this movie, mini movie, because some of the supporting cast are not that good.
A bit of overacting and a bit of shrillness to some of their lines.
Yeah, but it all sort of stems around leading up to this confrontation between Smurenberg's character, who's appropriately called Dutch, and the Panic character, who, like you say, is, we're not quite sure why he's the thorn in their side or whatever, but then it all becomes quite clear at the end, and then there's quite a little bit of a twist at the end. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think this is a fantastic all round 11 minute movie.
Yeah,
11
minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, apart from that sort of haziness as to exactly what we're watching.
Well, they seem to have, the mercenaries seem to have kidnapped a man and his wife, and they're not so interested in the husband, but the wife, they've got plans, whether they're going to ransom her or something, or sell her to, you know, whether it's a traffic thing, we don't really know. But there's sort of revelations to do with the characters that sort of come along the way, only delicate ones. But there's not a huge amount of story here, but it is sort of the action that's leading it. But I thought it was quite interesting that the exposition comes at the end.
Yeah.
You know, they would almost do it like a twist kind of revelation, whereas, you know, it would have completely changed the film if they'd done that sort of thing at the start, which is what makes it interesting, I guess. You got the climax, you know, the action climax, and then like a couple of minutes where they, you know, explain things a bit for you. I'm definitely curious to see more of what comes from the, you know, the people who made this, like Stephen Rennie, because again, this is one of, a bit like what I was saying with The Collector, this is one of my favorite all-round short action films, I think, that I've seen this year, and perhaps that I've ever seen. I think, you know, this is up there for me.
Absolutely, it's good. Yeah, I'd have loved to see this as a feature. You know, I'm sure it'll be absolutely ripping. Scores on the Doors.
I'm gonna go. It's not quite a 10. I'm gonna give it a 9.
I'm going for an 8 again on this one. A bit too obtuse for its own good, but the actual, you know, the action side of it is second to none. Check it out. It's in the links below. Okay, that is the end of this week's show. Thanks for Rich for joining me and for curating these shorts. Rich does a lot of the work in the back room, as it were, watching loads of these shorts, deciding which ones we're going to cover. So thanks, Rich. These were pretty stellar this week.
Thank you. Glad I could share them with you all.
Absolutely. Do check out our Twitter feed for the DTV Digest short shots, where we schedule a new short every day for you to check out. I think they release about 8 o'clock UK time in the evening. So please do check them out. Some of them we've covered before on the show, some we haven't, but you know, these are ones that we think you will enjoy. Check them out. And also don't forget to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at the DTV Digest. Other than that, thank you for listening. Tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.